you think community engagement initiative and you think this is about connecting with people outside of the school. How are we going to engage local businesses? How are we going to engage other community leaders or build those partnerships? But the community that we're trying to engage is our students and our families and our staff. And to build the community and to build those partnerships within our school.
Rockland Academy telling their story of why they even wanted to do CEI and truly why they think they needed CEI. I mean, there's some real vulnerability in saying, not only is this work that we wanted to do, but we felt we needed to do. That then creates this layer of trust that families can come in and start to ask questions about the way things are done or to give feedback about the way things are done. I think CEI asking that you have parents on the team really sets it up, because I think now Rockland Academy's team is willing to be vulnerable. They'll totally go there. And I think initially, though, that can be kind of scary. So CEI building the framework that parents are going to be involved right away sort of pushes you into that discomfort and then helps you develop strategies to get more comfortable with it and be willing to do it yourself.
In our previous two episodes, we immersed ourselves in the Community Engagement Initiative, or CEI, exploring its profound impact it's having on school sites, districts, and the surrounding community at large. As Antonia Serrano of the Bakersfield City Family and Community Engagement Team told us, it's all about
relationships, relationships, relationship.
While this remains a crucial aspect of today's discussion, we'll delve deeper and uncover an additional, equally significant theme: the sense of belonging.
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 You belong here.
This exploration will enrich our understanding of CEI and its role in fostering deep community connections. Welcome to Rising from the Margins, Episode 9, Chapter 6, Rockland Academy in Rockland, California. I'm your host, Byron Watkins. We're in Northern California today, at Rockland Academy, a charter school just over 20 miles northeast of Sacramento. Now, for those unfamiliar, California charter schools are still public schools. Their major differences are in their curriculum and educational approach. In the case of Rockland, a small group of parents and educators within this community banded together back in 2000, looking for an alternative solution.
And so it was really grounded in parent partnership right at the beginning, and that has stayed true now 23 years later.
That's the voice of Robin Stout, superintendent of Rockland Academy since 2015. She's witnessed Rockland's incredible growth over the years. What started as a small endeavor with only 3 grade levels has quickly transformed.
Now we are at 4 schools serving TK through 12, 2,600 students.
We really doubled our enrollment in 2 years with the growth of this campus.
And that's Jelaine Antoon. Jelaine splits duties as principal and director of growth and community engagement for Rockland Academy.
We, as leaders at that time, we're seeing like the things that worked in a small school with tight-knit community, we now opened this gigantic campus serving kids from all these local schools. So how do we look at family engagement in light of that rapid growth?
At its core, the purpose of CEI, or the Community Engagement Initiative, is to strengthen the capacity of families, community members, school and district staff to create authentic partnerships to support student success. Similar to many other schools, Rockland had already developed its own approach to family engagement. Even before partnering with the Community Engagement Initiative, the school had implemented several iterations of strategic planning that emphasized parent partnership, which coincides with the school's Local Control and Accountability Plan, also known as the LCAP.
So we have our strategic plan, which really is our North Star. We have 5 goals that we look at constantly as an organization. The LCAP is, to us, part of the strategic plan. It is not something additional to. So we have some of the same goals from our strategic plan is replicated in our LCAP. So it's not one more thing that we're doing. So we have a goal around academic performance, social emotional well-being. And then the other goals of the strategic plan are woven in as actions within the LCAP. And then the community engagement work really was driven from goal 4 of the strategic plan around parent engagement.
Rockland's goals had been set, but in order to improve parent and community engagement, they sought out additional resources and guidance. Because as Rockland grew larger and larger, they began to realize they were losing some of what made the school so unique as a charter school.
When we were smaller, the culture was easy to replicate year over year because we had the same teachers, same families, same siblings that came through. But then starting with new teachers and new families, that core of parent partnership and engaging families looked quite different. It was still very much who we were, but because it was bigger, it was a little bit harder to replicate. I think we recognized that it needed to be intentional, and we had our focus on other things, and we realize now in hindsight, parent partnership and engagement, we really have to be intentional about what that looks like and proactive. And I think because it was so embedded in who we were as a smaller school, we took it for granted that it will just happen here.
It doesn't just happen. You have to be intentional about it.
It doesn't just happen. You have to be intentional about it. There's this funny saying that seems to have gotten more popular over the years. Hope is not a strategy. This is where something like CEI comes in.
I don't really know what this is, what this CEI thing is.
That's the voice of 20-year veteran teacher Gina Moon, who's an integral part of Rockland's CEI team.
I had no idea when I first got into it. I just knew that I believed in it. I didn't know how much work it was going to be. I didn't know why I was going to be traveling and all this stuff. So the beginning of CEI feels a little nebulous and unclear of like, what are we doing here? Where are we going? And it's interesting now because we're facilitating other teams in the first part of the journey. So it's like, just trust the process is what I want to tell them. Like, you're going to get there.
We made a lot of shifts after CEI of banking the positive with families and really showing them that we believe that they are assets and not just like buckets to fill with information.
CEI builds upon this foundation by having parents involved throughout the process. Each school site involved in CEI not only allows parents into the conversation, but they also dedicate seats at the table, bridging the gap between school and family.
I think you bring in a different perspective than a teacher or, you know, a principal or things like that.
This is the voice of parent and CEI member Crystal Burley.
You're the parent. You're the student's first teacher. So I just think you bring in a different experience, and it's a different sort of lens for them to look at. And I think that's important that they look at your opinion of things as well as just theirs.
Now we'll hear from Daniela Miranda, a dedicated parent and another member of the CEI group at Rockland.
So it really gave us tools to build relationship and to encourage that connection rather than just continuing with old programming, right? So it's helping us lead us into the next generation.
It's easy for schools to be afraid to get that engagement from families, and I have a lot of compassion for why that is true.
That's the voice of Allie Murphy, Director of Mental Health for the Placer County Office of Education, who brings a unique perspective in seeing the value of real relationship and community engagement as it relates to student outcomes.
That then creates this layer of trust that families can come in and start to ask questions about the way things are done or to give feedback about the way things are done. I think CEI asking that you have parents on the team really sets it up, because I think now Rockland Academy's team is willing to be vulnerable. They'll totally go there. And I think initially, though, that can be kind of scary. So CEI building the framework that parents are going to be involved right away sort of pushes you into that discomfort and then helps you develop strategies to get more comfortable with it and be willing to do it yourself.
For me, the takeaway that I've shared before with CEI is the two-way communication. So providing opportunities to hear from families.
What blossomed out of CEI was the need for better two-way communication. So in order to get there, Rockland shifted their approach to communication, which they referred to as simple shifts.
Why do we do something this way? Why are we continuing to do this? What if we shift it a little bit, and what if we make that change?
So you want to improve two-way communication with parents. How do you do that?
We're not blowing up huge structures. We didn't blow up the school calendar to create a new thing.
So they decided on a different approach, something much more simple. They realized that they were already meeting with parents. It was happening in small ways all throughout the school year.
We were able to start shifting our focus into, okay, what opportunities do we have to create that space to build trust? There are so many different engagement opportunities with families across the school year and throughout classrooms and through meetings that you have with parents. And so all of those, every single time you have a conversation with a parent or a parent has a conversation with a teacher, it's an opportunity to build a trusting relationship.
I hope you'll reflect on how complex this seemingly simple thing is. How often do we question what has become so ingrained and is basically just a pattern we execute on? Is this thing we are already doing as effective as it can be? Simple yet profound. I'll be numbering the simple shifts as we go for clarity, but the numbers by no means denote the order in which they were implemented. Simple shift number one. Letters home to parents.
In the beginning of the year, we send to every family a personalized card.
Provided time and resources for every teacher to write a note to every parent of the students that were coming into their classroom saying, I'm so excited to partner with you to the benefit of your child this year. I'm looking forward to meeting with you. My door's always open. Please let me know, like, if something comes up. I'm so excited to work with you, right?
You know, some teachers do like, hi, I can't wait to see you in my class. That's not personalized, right? You can't write that on 30 cards and send them out. You might as well not, right? And so there's a little bit of like shifting of changing of like, yeah, it's really cute to get a card in the mail, but could you say something personal? Like, could you find out about that family?
Parents really enjoyed that. Teachers really enjoyed that because then they had this first connection often before they even met each other, you know, at the beginning of the school year.
So we got some time within our professional learning days. All the supplies were purchased for us. Jelaine then sent them out for us, and we sent cards to all of our families, which I think was really cool. So it's like, and then kids would come back, I got your card. Oh my gosh, that was so cool. You know, families would say, oh, thank you. And really saying nice things to us, not just like, can't wait to see you in my classroom.
Simple shift number two, new parent orientation nights.
Take new family orientation is something that is an example of where we made a change. New family information or orientation nights used to be a few hundred parents in a room with me with a microphone talking to them about all the things that we're going to do for their child and why they chose the best school. And we've shifted those to be opportunities to listen to them now. So we don't start with us talking to them. We start with them sharing with us and with each other around a table why they are excited about being at this school, what they're hoping to experience here, and then also like what are the burning questions that they have so that we can help them feel, you know, more comfortable and welcome to the school community.
We just needed to start building a better way to have two-way communication with parents and it not just be like feeding info at them, but like collaborating with them. You know, we needed something that was more effective. And I imagine that most parents sending their kids off to school for the first time are like freaking out along with the kids freaking out. And so I think this gave families a kind of an ease in and understand why they chose this school, because we're a school of choice. So why did you come here?
Simple shift number three, coffee chats.
One thing that we learned last year is we started holding coffee chats with parents, which in the past was me sharing information with parents and not asking them anything. So one shift we made there was to ask parents those questions of what's going well, what could we be doing better? So we didn't change the event. We changed the structure of the event to make it more of that two-way communication, which we think helps to build those trusting relationships right from the beginning.
Simple shift number four, positive calls home.
When we do have, you know, some sort of meeting where we're all gathering together, our elementary schools have an early out day and we do collaboration or we look at data or teachers are on their own, but sometimes we come together all together and meet. And instead of starting at 2 o'clock, I ask teachers to come at 2:05 and showed them like, this is a perfect time for you to make a quick phone call home to a parent. Hi, I only have a couple of minutes right now. I have to get to a meeting, but I just had to tell you this thing that happened today about your child, or I just really needed to take a minute to tell you this happened last week and I was so proud of them, or I've seen this growth. Then I have teachers come back in the room and they're sharing about, like, okay, who made a positive phone call, how'd it go? And teachers were like, it was amazing. This mom was crying on the phone. They were so grateful, or they were so shocked. They've never had a positive phone call home before. And when teachers are then starting to share these successes and how it's impacting their relationship, then reluctant teachers are like, okay, maybe I can try it too.
Rockland is wholeheartedly embracing the power of two-way communication. They're challenging the status quo, ensuring that conversations flow both ways and that every voice is heard.
So you have to imagine, like, when you're opening yourself up to a two-way conversation, you don't know what's going to come at you from the other side. It's much easier to do what schools already do, which is give information.
This commitment is creating a more inclusive environment where dialogue thrives, moving beyond the limitations of one-way communication.
I see, like, all the information that we're sending out and through social media. Like, I'm curious, what does that look like for parents? What are they hoping to learn about their child's day-to-day that we're not hitting the mark on? So the next time I had a coffee chat, we dove into that. And I asked parents questions. If you could tell your teacher anything about your child that you haven't had a chance to tell them yet, what would you want them to know? And then one thing from that we heard about was that parents were looking for more communication on, like, the day-to-day for their child. Our families trust us with their child's academics. The questions were not about, you know, reading literature standard 1.3 and how their child's doing on this portion of the standard that we're required to teach. The questions that we got were, is my child a leader or a follower in the classroom? Does my child raise their hand and participate in class? Are they making good choices on the playground? Do they eat their lunch at lunchtime?
Which brings us to simple shift number 5, parent-teacher conferences.
They've really revamped parent-teacher conferences to, one, have those events in and of themselves have a lot of two-way communication. So it's not just teachers talking at families.
Administration received kind of feedback from parents about what they really want to hear during these conferences. And a lot of the times it's really more about, like, whole child.
That's the voice of third grade teacher Kim Velasquez.
How are they doing? Or how are they feeling? What are their emotions? How are they interacting with other people? Behavior, strengths, areas of growth. And of course, like, there's academics tied into that. But that has kind of shifted away from that focus where I have kept it really whole child based, and I will say I've had most of my conferences at this point in the week and I haven't brought up the report card once, and it has never been, there's not been the paper in front of us, nothing. And I know some people might disagree with that, but I have gotten everything I've needed to say out, as well as the parents.
What Rockland Academy does, it's so unique too, is they send report cards before parent-teacher conferences. So parents have a chance to look them over, which means when you come to the conference, you really just have an opportunity to talk about your kid and hear about your kid. And what parent doesn't want to do that?
Parent-teacher conferences historically have been like, here's the report card, a nice safe tool, right? Here are the standards that we've taught so far. Here's how your child's doing on these portions of the standards, and here's what we're going to do next for their child, right? So instead of focusing on the academics that we know our families trust us with, we made some shifts and worked with our teachers and did some practice on making it more conversational.
Here's Nicole Moraru of Rockland's fourth grade.
I think that the parents have really enjoyed it too. So I've started all of my conferences this week. Like, it's really open-ended. What questions do you have for me? And the first questions they have, almost 9 times out of 10, have been is, does my student have friends? How are they in class? Are they quiet? Are they disruptive? They want to know really about the student's behavior. The academics, like Kim said, come second, because you can read that on the report card, right? They need help in math, or they're maybe not so strong in a reading standard. I think parents really appreciate how much we really know about their kids. And I think that's just one more way of us showing that, like, parents are partners with us. Like, their children are our children, mm-hmm. and they really appreciate hearing that.
I was allowed access into a few parent-teacher conferences while I was at Rockland. And they're right, something is inherently different in these rooms. Less tension, more dialogue. Both parties feel like they're walking alongside one another, in unison. Here's a peek into a fourth grade parent-teacher conference.
Before we dive into Dex's goals and the thing that he created, Eve, I kind of wanted to hear from you. How do you feel the year's going so far?
Yeah, I think he's making tremendous growth this year. And like, I'm hearing a lot about what he's learning, which is always a really good sign.
It's just a lot more casual. You know, you go in and here's all their stuff, but it's like, what do you want to talk about? Let me tell you about your daughter in class. So it was very much like just a casual conversation. It wasn't so much structured, I want to say. So I felt it was a lot less structured, where you were free to ask more questions. And at least that's how it was with mine. My daughter's was different than my son's because my son's was student-led. So I was in totally two different things for conferences.
By the time a student reaches sixth grade, they are tasked with leading their own parent-teacher conference. Take a listen into one of Rockland's sixth grade student-led conferences.
Mom, Liliana is going to take the majority of this conference.
My personal goal is to find a way to be less irritated with my table mates when they do something that annoys me. And my academic goal would be giving more evidence in my essays.
This has actually been one of the easiest weeks. It's actually something I look forward to now and I used to dread, honestly. So I think it, from both sides, I think it's really improved the relationship and the partnership.
It's scary to come. You don't know what your teacher's going to say about your kid most of the time, right? So let's warm up the environment and have a literal warm drink before you come in and sit down next to each other at the table.
You know, the way they set it up the last couple, at least the last two conferences, they've got coffee stations for parents. You can write letters to staff members, to teachers. It's very like, got a, like a homey vibe.
I feel like with teachers, and I'm not even that old or anything into it. I've literally been here 5 years, but I feel like there is a misconception of teachers versus parents. You know, we know more than the parents do from the school side of things. And like this almost like lack of humility and like really negative connotation, like, oh God, like a parent emailed me, like my stomach's automatically sinking. Like you're assuming it's negative already. And so for me, like this has really changed the whole game in that you're building those kind of relationships.
And we collected data on that after the first round of conferences. And it was wildly successful, where every parent felt like their relationship was enhanced. That's an example of a way that we listened to our parents, thought about our goal for trusting relationships, and made a small change to something that we already do to try to get closer to that goal.
And so when you sit and have real relationships with people, that's actually really hard for even adults. I think in general, in our society, relationship really has been lost. So it's not as easy to say relationship, relationship, relationship.
I think where we made that switch was that we saw, hey, we can be vulnerable. We can create the space to listen to each other, to ask questions, to not just make assumptions, to make someone feel like it's okay to disagree. And we started seeing that even in our CEI team, that could happen. It gave us hope that maybe at our school and maybe even in the broader community and in society as a whole, maybe there is hope.
Creating better two-way communication with families is only part of the equation. The beauty of CEI is that parents aren't just heard. They are part of the inner workings. They attend CEI school site meetings. They attend CEI conferences. And they make meaningful contributions to the work. More from Rockland mom and CEI member Daniela Miranda.
Because I was working with our parent staff board, I had been active. However, the level of this was very different once CEI became part of the process. It's making it less of a transactional relationship and more of a caring kind of environment, warm, inclusive environment. Not to say that there was no warmth or inclusivity before then, but just it feels less like, hey, do this for me and I'll do this for you, versus, oh, you know, this is really great for our community and I could see many people benefiting from this and feeling affirmed by this.
And now we'll hear from parent and CEI group member, Sharmeen Jamal, who shared some deep insights on how community engagement was unfolding something pretty profound.
I think I didn't have an understanding before getting involved with CEI that the school was even interested in my perspective. It was a really heartening experience to be asked the questions we were asked at CEI meetings or have topics that related to our cultural diversity be kind of put at the forefront. It really took me by surprise, not necessarily because the school wasn't doing anything, but just because as a parent with young children and as a, someone who grew up here in the 90s, it wasn't something that was discussed a lot. You know, my culture or the fact that wherever I'm coming from is something that's of value and that there's curiosity surrounding it or what I have to bring to the table.
While maybe uncommon, this approach to opening classroom doors to parents is ultimately enriching the learning environment for everyone involved. This practice is not only redefining the concept of community at Rockland, but also enabling parents to engage more deeply in their child's educational journey.
Another one of the things that we've started in our conferences is really asking parents what expertise they have, what hobbies they have, what's their line of work, because we are wanting to get this bank of information. So if we have a unit on the human body and we have a nurse practitioner, she can come in and really bring in that expertise.
Gina did something really wonderful last year that I appreciated. When she was teaching her kids about Islam, for example, she knew that she had a few Muslim families in her class. And so my friend happens to be one of the parents who she reached out to. And she was like, hey, we're actually learning about Ramadan. Do you want to come talk about it? And I loved that it was the teacher who approached the parent, because my experience has been in the past that I have come up to the teacher when Ramadan came around and been like, so my kid's fasting, can I come talk about it?
The parents are like, oh, you're asking about me? Yeah. And they just feel instantly a part of it. So they feel valued and they know that we're not the know-it-alls and they feel like they can bring something into the classroom.
Yeah. There is something scary as the parent to try and knock on that door and see if it'll open. It's so much nicer when the teacher who's already at the table, you know, extends, pulls out a chair for you and says, hey, you want to come?
I think in the last few years, it's been great to welcome in the parents and the relationships are stronger. I've taught here for 10 years, so I do know a lot of these families, but I would say just this year, last year is when I've really got to know them as people and parents and somebody that's a woodworker or somebody that's an engineer. And it makes it all feel like we're that much more connected to each other and that we value each other.
Yeah.
So I've had great experiences.
Those are things that we're seeing more and more now. And again, I really credit CEI for, you know, helping encourage our staff, encourage our administration and our parents to be more involved in that way.
In a similar way, student voice is one of those areas that has really taken shape at Rockland. More on this from middle school teacher Gina Moon.
I really early tied on to the idea of student voice. And so there was a lot about connecting with families, which I was a part of as well, but I really wanted to get that going at our school.
While many schools may utilize their student councils and check the box of student voice, CEI is pioneering a transformative approach to fostering a meaningful dialogue and relationship with students. Students are not just participants. They are integral members of the conversation alongside educators and parents. This approach creates a level playing field where every participant can learn from one another, free from hierarchy or preconceived notions.
I don't understand why we as educators sometimes understand that that should be the number one voice. Why are we all here? We're here for the students, right? And so what I saw being lost in all my years of education, which made me sad, was kids were just coming to school and going through the motions of doing school. Like school was being done to them, right? Versus this is your school. What do you guys want to do? How can we make it better? We got to talk to the kids. What's going on?
I had been diving into California Healthy Kids survey data, and we see that our students know that teachers believe in them academically, but the data around if kids are feeling like they meaningfully participate in the school community and decisions at school and are part of
you know, helping make decisions for the school, it was like 25% of kids felt like they were meaningfully participating in school. So that spoke to the need of creating a way for students to feel like they had voice and agency at school to make real change.
When can we have kids as presenters, kids using their voice, kids telling us what we want to do?
Thanks to CEI and the collaborative efforts at Rockland, the students created the Student Impact Committee. I sat with seventh graders, Juliet Antoon, Jada Stamaria, and Titus Breitbart. Here's Juliet.
We're a group of sixth, seventh, eighth graders, and our ultimate goal is to make changes or impacts on our school so that we can like help improve it.
Yeah. Elevate our students' voices.
Yes, and elevate student voice. So it's just like, it's entirely student run.
They are the ones who now are meeting with teachers and pitching ideas and saying, this is really important to the students that we've talked to. And one example is having classroom buddies, so big buddies and little buddies. So they did the work of pairing up fifth grade classes with first grade classes and sixth grade classes with third grade classes, gave the teachers dates to work within, brainstormed and created different activities that the teachers could do together. They did all of the work to make this thing happen because the kids were saying, some classes have big buddies and little buddies and some classes don't, and we think that everyone should have that experience. So I didn't bring that to the teachers. The kids came to the meeting and they proposed it to the teachers.
Realizing too that their voice is what's going to get things done, it's not going to be my voice. And I think they're starting to see that, and that's the amazing thing.
When you think about it, it makes sense that the students should also have a say in this because we're the ones that are doing the learning. We're like walking around, experiencing everything, and the fact that we should be able to have a say in what goes on just makes sense.
Right now we have the kids who are the natural leaders who are on it, right? But I need every voice on it. I need the kids. I think about my little boys, so I always have to go to at lunchtime, who are my little naughty group over here. I need them to be on leadership because that's how behaviors are going to change. And you want to know what? Last week, I had two of them come up to me and be like, Mrs. Moon, how do I get on this leadership thing? And I was like, is someone punking me? Did someone send you? I got to play with me. And they're like, no, I really want to be on it. I was like, yeah, totally. Fill out the application. You know, and so it's spreading and the kids are seeing that what they're doing is making a difference.
It's truly, it's an amazing experience to be part of. And I think it trickles down. My son sees it. He's like, I want to be part of that. Like the kids are saying, oh, I want to do that. I want to be able to be on that team. Like they're doing really amazing things. How do I get on that? And then you see that by 65 plus applications rolling in.
We've had a student on our team too, who's phenomenal and gives me a lot of hope about what young people are doing because her ability to engage in all those spaces with her peers, but also with adults and do those things that I think we worry kids can't do anymore. I've seen her be able to do that, and not just her, but all of the youth at CEI. It's been pretty incredible to see how engaged they are in community and in developing community and how much they're asking for that has been really neat to see.
People think that students, like, they don't see them as having, like, a different perspective. And so it's like when you look at them and we, like, hear from them, it's like they're almost kind of surprised about it. It's like, it's not something that a lot of schools do, and it's still pretty new to our campus. And so I think a lot of schools are really surprised. And, like, we're breaking the stereotypes here. We're breaking the idea of, like, the teachers are always in charge and the students are always the ones below them. But now we're kind of having that like shift in roles, and now the students are taking charge and the teachers are kind of taking a back seat in that sense. And so now we're having more student voice. The teachers are now like, they're less in charge and more like we are all the same level. There's not one person in this relationship that is more superior than the other, but it's almost just like we're just working together for the good.
We identified what we wanted at our school. What do you guys want? You know? And so they have cleanliness and school pride, kindness and inclusion. Those are some of our pillars, and fun and engaging learning. And so everything we do goes back to that.
It's again, why we're here is for the kids. And so for the kids to tell us what they're looking for and what they're doing is really exciting.
I feel like before I was a part of the Student Impact Committee, I didn't realize how much schools are like run by staff and adults and teachers. So being a part of this has helped me find my voice in our school and help me make changes that like
I didn't even realize I wanted to move forward with until I was a part of this.
Their experience is the most important part, right?
You know, they're getting murals. We got all new garbage cans, which seems silly, but they're cool.
I had always felt like I did have a voice at the school, but since the Student Impact Committee, I felt like I could actually use my voice. Like, for example, the trash can situation, they didn't fit our lunch trays. If nobody had used their voice and like pointed that out, then they still wouldn't fit our lunch trays, and that would still be another problem.
Before Student Impact, if someone had brought up the idea of the trash cans to a teacher, they might have been like, oh, that's a good idea, but then nothing would have happened about it.
I never have thrown a lunch tray away. I didn't even realize that the hole was too small for that, but that's their experience and that's their solution, and they have such great ideas and they want to take ownership of the space.
We're really impacted by the environment that we're in, and everybody wants that, like including teachers. It's not just students, the staff. We all want this environment to be a good one because we're here for a like pretty big part of the day. So yeah, it's been really impactful to see those changes around school. And like you were saying, the trash cans, they're a little delight, but they make everything so much better.
That means there's no more trays on the floor.
Yep.
And they're also pleasing to the eye because they have our school logo on it, make us like feel proud.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there could be sort of a revolution happening in terms of what kids are wanting from adults. I think that this generation is going to be really good at speaking their minds and saying what doesn't work for them, what status quo doesn't work.
Taking a back seat sometimes is what you need to do, right? And being there for them whenever they need it.
I've been able to build so much more of a better relationship and bond with not just my peers who I'm working with, but also like my teachers and especially my principal. We've built such a tight-knit community here. And it's like, now that I know that they're going to listen to us and now that they're going to actually do something about the issues that we're bringing up, like now I know I can trust them with my voice, and they also know the importance of our voices too.
The last key component to mention for the Rockland story is the way they've collaborated outside of their walls. CEI is a statewide initiative. And if we believe a good idea can come from anywhere, perhaps it's worth listening to other school sites and districts in case what works there can work here.
Like that's what's exciting about CEI and collaborating with all of these schools around the state is we're all trying to do the same thing and we're learning together on how to break down those barriers and how to broaden the communities.
We're learning from other schools. So it's not some, you know, person that's outside of schools coming and telling us what to do. These are other schools that have gone through similar struggles. They're very transparent about their struggles, which is a thing I like too.
That is the beautiful thing about the CEI process is that it's all, there's facilitators and there's experts from these lead agencies who are leading the work in their way, but really it's school districts and schools who are doing the work, learning from the work, sharing that back with other schools who are interested in learning as well. We learned so much in our first year from schools that had gone through the process the year or two before us and grew as a school and as a team so much over the course of those years. And now as we are facilitating other schools as the facilitators of their learning, not only are we getting to share the things that we've done, but we're still learning from them too. So it's just this like really beautiful flow of learning together and sharing resources together.
Embracing this spirit of collaboration not only enriches our community, but also ignites a collective momentum towards excellence in education.
I mean, we did steal like the face walk. That was a big thing.
As the saying goes, each one teach one. This highlights the beauty of shared knowledge and the importance of learning from one another. The information is readily available all around us. We just need to be willing to listen and participate.
Bakersfield was one of the schools, and we learned a lot from them. And one of the things that we took back and took away was this family and community engagement or FACE walk. And they were so great to share all of the resources that they had used. They walked through the process that they had gone through. They shared the data. They just were very transparent about what this process was. So we were able to take their rubric that they had designed and tweak it a little bit
So we all met with, so the PSP was part of it, the CEI team. We brought in like admin from the board, like Raffo's board. And we had this rubric and we basically walked around the campus inside and out, all around. And there was, it was like a questionnaire. And it was like, rate the following. Do we have this? Do we have this? What do you think of this?
Is the school welcoming? Can you find the front office? When you're in the front office, is it warm and welcoming? Do you get greeted with a hello? Walking around common spaces, do we see, is it clean? Is it safe? Are students treating each other kindly? Is a learning environment engaging? So all these different categories on this rubric. So we would walk and then we would pause and we would score. And then after that individual reflection, we sat in a room and had scores, a 1, 2, 3, or 4 on where we thought those elements had landed based on this rubric. So we sat in a room and we literally just went down the different rubric and parents lifted up a 1, 2, 3, or 4 or the other leaders that were in the room. And then we were able to have conversations about what we saw. So if someone held up a 4, like we are exceptional in this area, and someone else held up a 1 or a 2, we would stop and say, okay, what did you see? What did you see? Like, we didn't have any signs pointing to the front of the school, like zero signage. And you know, you drove here. Like, it's like, where are we even going? Where's the front office? So that was one of the things that over the summer we could allocate funds toward, just to make it a more welcoming place.
I think that's what CEI is. It's like opening yourself up to that, to the vulnerability and discomfort to figure out what's the problem and how do we fix it, and utilizing guidance from peers. Somebody else might have had a problem that you can tweak to your own. And I think that's what a lot of CEI is about. It's like you're sharing your experiences and you're like, well, that's not 100% ours because we may not have the same demographic or, you know, that type of situation in our community, but there's got to be something in there that you can take.
The sharing that Bakersfield did really led to a huge impact at our school. And I'll say, like, Bakersfield is a very different district than ours. They're really, really large. They're in a different part of the state. So a lot of the time we would hear from districts that had family and community engagement departments with multiple staff members and like liaisons to all of the many schools. And we would come out and be like, It's me, right? It's us. It's the three staff members in the room who have other jobs that are doing the work, but we still could take things that they had developed and implement them in our own way at our school.
Goal 2 of our strategic plan and goal 2 of the LCAP, same, is the social emotional well-being of our students. And I would say the face walk was a direct result out of the work that we did with community engagement to make sure that they have a school environment where they feel safe, cared for, and it's a high culture of learning for them.
A lot of what I think happened is people felt like, I'm being shut out of my kids' life at school. I want to be more involved. And it felt like being on the school board was the only way to have a voice. So I see the face walk as sort of a micro version of that, because there is so much agency in that experience of, I'm going to give my opinion. It's an objective process. Everyone gets a turn to share. And then you're going to make change from what I said. I mean, that's what people are after. They all want to feel heard and, you know, a small sense of power. And I think the face walk is a really great way to do that.
You know, we're still learning as we go. Like, I feel like we're just barely starting anything. If you look at our school, like all the new things, all the signage, all the paint, all those things, those are all learnings of CEI that, you know, I think we're just beginning to start those changes. So I think the more we learn, the more we do, the more we connect with people about it, the more educated everybody is about it, the better off it's going to be. And it's going to be hopefully something that carries on long after I'm here and my kids are here.
So we get this information by organically going out and capturing it. And that's another piece that I really thought was important that I kind of learned from CEI, is just different ways of thinking about data collection, and that that's just as valid as the traditional set of data, if not more.
I think Rockland Academy uncovered, wait a second, that might not even be our ultimate goal. Is that actually getting us what we want, which is meaningful relationships with families, two-way communication, them involved in their student's school and feeling like when we
go through challenges as a school community that we can deal with them together. And I think they have found that there are other ways to better do that than maybe the sort of two options that seem like they're presented for us as school systems.
Belonging wasn't really something that we were like pushing towards, but it's like something that just like came along. We were like, oh wait, we're trying to make everyone feel like they belong here. And it's like, we weren't like aiming to do that, but like through our work, it just kind of came along. And I mean, it's been so impactful. Now, you know, like I was saying, we see so much of a shift in the culture of our students and our peers, teachers, and how they interact with one another, how they view each other differently now. And so, I mean, yeah, we're making everyone try and feel like they belong here. Like, you have a spot here, you have a purpose here. There isn't any reason why you shouldn't be here because you belong.
Yeah, and one thing that I think could possibly lead to someone feeling like they don't belong is like when their ideas are getting shut down. But like Jada was saying, in the Student Impact Committee, we don't have any bad ideas or wrong answers. Like, every idea is a good one, and we can, like, that's, everyone feels like they belong in that because they have a voice and they have a choice in what they want to do.
Mm-hmm. And like our last pillar, kindness and inclusion, it like, it works perfectly with this. Like, if you're kind to people, then you're including them. If you're including them, then they're starting to feel a sense of belonging. Like, they can share their ideas, they can like be at home. This is a place, like Julia said, they're spending a lot of time here, like half their day, more than half of their day. And so if they, it'll be such a better experience for them if they just feel like they belong and that they can contribute.
This sense of belonging is something we've unfortunately misplaced along the way. We no longer participate because it doesn't feel to us that we are valued, that we are wanted in a space. We're communicating information, but not humanity. In his book, Belonging: The Science of Creating Connection and Bridging Divides, Jeffrey Cohen writes, "The overwhelming conclusion across a large body of studies is that personality matters less than we think, while the situation matters more than we think. So we blame others and their personality instead of seeing that the situation, the system, produces the outcome." That is what Rockland is doing, changing the situation, realizing that this isn't someone's personality that creates separation, but the structure of the situation. If we want to improve coherence of communication, this is what has to shift. The parents and students are expressing they feel they belong more because the teachers and staff of Rockland are just doing simple things, like asking, "How was your day? What do you think about this? What would you do if you had the power to change this?" And CEI is showing not just Rockland, but schools all throughout the entire state of California that they are connected, that they belong as part of the entire state school system, and that the coherence that each of them are discovering and unfolding as they question their own systems can be shared with other schools. Every school in the state is in relationship. This is a fact that can be hard to see. You know, it is sort of absurdly simple when you stop and realize how easy it is to unfold a sense of belonging in others. We just have to realize that we create the spaces and the situations for meaning to unfold. And that regardless if we realize it or not, we are connected and always exist in relationship. But our relationships will always be incoherent if we don't learn to communicate again. We will continue to lose our ability to be vulnerable with each other and always feel a sense that we don't quite belong.
Really feels like we're going back in time in some ways. We really can't move forward without going back. And we can use, I love Class Dojo, I love Parent Square, I love Instagram, all the things. And if we don't use those as tools, knowing that relationship, dialogue, and reflection are the actual work, then we're going to continue to misuse those tools and continue to have a difficult time reconciling schools and families and how they're perceived. And there's so much opportunity for dialogue and reflection in CEI.
So let's take more moments to reflect, to dialogue with each other, to consider what it is we have lost so that we can understand how we have been changed.
I think one of the things that I've really enjoyed about CEI is that the potential for impact is pretty profound. You're not just impacting the students, but you're also impacting families. And then from there, that ripples into the community.
My message, I think, is like, you don't need to lead anything. You need to be a part of something, right? And I think that's what CEI encapsulates, is like, we are a part of a movement. No one person is leading this, and no one person can. And no one person can at a school either. Right? Because like you say, it has to live beyond us. It has to be indoctrinated in. And so if we are all in this together, right, not one person leading the work, we're all mentors. Jada mentors me all the time. Jada speaks to me about stuff and she's like texting me, Mrs. Moon, are you okay? Are you okay? I just saw her walking here and she's like, I'm so excited. I'm like, I'm glad you're excited. I'm so stressed. I was like this. I was like, I'm so stressed. And she's like, you got this. You got this. You know, I'm learning from her, like, calm down, letting her see me as somebody who's not, I don't have it all together. I'm not above you in some way, right? Like, that's the barriers that need to break down in order for these relationships to happen.
Let's all make some simple shifts. And maybe we can unfold an education system and hopefully a world where all of us belong. Thank you for listening. This series was brought to you by CCEE, the California Collaborative for Educational Excellence, whose mission is to transform public education so that every student is left inspired and prepared to thrive as their best self in the world. If you would like to know more about CCEE, log on to ccee-ca.org. Rising from the Margins was written and produced by Winsong Productions, with additional production support by Parsec Education. The Community Engagement Initiative is operated through a partnership between the California Collaborative for Educational Excellence, the San Diego County Office of Education, Escolta School Research and Design, and the University of San Diego. For more information about CEI, visit californiaengage.org. And stay tuned for future episodes that will cover important topics like compassionate systems and a view of the statewide education landscape. Join us next time on Rising from the Margins.